I want you to feel that you can talk to me about anything. You must feel awful sometimes, and I know you feel very isolated at times. I know I miss you so much sometimes that I feel angry. It must be really rotten for you when you need a family member to talk to, or you need Mum to sound off to. I love you, and I want to do anything I can do to help you get over things and to be as happy as possible. Love, as always, Mum. It was January 1996. I was nearly 9 months pregnant. All I knew for sure, having been told at my 20-week scan, was that I was having a girl. Everything else was uncertain. I expect most women get nervous as the birth of their first child approaches. I certainly was. All kinds of worries enter your mind. Will the baby arrive on its due date, or be early or late? How painful will it be? Will there be complications? What will I feel when I see my baby for the first time? Will I feel love straight away, or does that take time? And as the years pass, will I be a good mum? Will my child love me? I imagine it's a time when many women turn to their mothers for advice and support. Perhaps sometimes even asking them to be there at the birth. But I knew that for me, that was not going to be possible, because my mother was Rose West. Only 2 months earlier, in November 1995, she'd been convicted of the murder of 9 young women and a little girl at one of the most notorious criminal trials in history. One of those young women was my sister, Heather. My mother had been sentenced to life imprisonment and told by the judge that she should never be released. In the eyes of many, she was the most evil woman that had ever lived. After my mother's conviction, I decided to make a clean break from Gloucester, the city where I had grown up, and where, at 25 Cromwell Street, the crimes of both my mother and father, Fred West, had come to light. I needed to start a new life for my baby and myself in a new town, far away from my own terrifying childhood memories, and where I hoped the Fred and Rose West legacy would not follow and haunt us. For many reasons, which I'll come to later, there wasn't much time to plan or think through how or where to do this, but I knew I had to try. I ended up renting a 3-bedroomed house 25 miles away with my half-sister Tara and her toddler son Nathan. Tara was 19 and I was 23. We didn't know anyone and couldn't risk anyone finding out who we were, so we kept our heads down. Tara and I could only depend on each other. When she went out, I felt very anxious. The unfamiliar creaks from the pipes or sudden sounds from next door would make my heart race, and I'd have one eye trained on our front door the whole time, waiting for her to come back through it. On the rare occasions when we went out together, just to a cafe for a cup of tea, I'd do my best to sit where I couldn't be seen, and yet always make sure I knew where the door was so I could get out in a hurry if we were recognised. Tara and I were totally alone in that town, but at least it meant we had a chance of escaping the media attention. As my due date drew near, the baby stopped moving as much as she had been, and I became very worried. I had no clue if this was normal or not. It was one of the many things I might have asked Mum's advice about if she had been there. After all, she'd had 8 children of her own. But of course I couldn't, and although Tara had a baby, she was only a young mum with little experience. So I rang the hospital, Cheltenham General, and they told me to come in so they could monitor me. The hospital was a grim, depressing place, with a grey stone facade and huge windows, which made it look like an asylum. But at least it was clean, and the best thing about it was that it wasn't Gloucester. I didn't want my baby to be born with Gloucester on her birth certificate.